ABC Radio Australia.
Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill has wrapped up his five-day visit to China, during which he led a large delegation of politicians and business people, meeting with the Chinese President and Premier, and he signed PNG up to the One Road, One Belt Infrastructure Initiative, which is China's massive program of infrastructure building throughout its neighbourhood. In doing so, he says PNG's become the first Pacific nation to do so.
If you read today's Sydney Morning Herald, it will tell you that Papua New Guinea became the second country in the Pacific to sign on into the One Belt, One Road Initiative. In fact, that is quite incorrect. We are the first one because sometimes we steamroll those to Asian communities, so we are really the first Pacific country. This initiative is very important for developing economies like Papua New Guinea, where infrastructure, energy, and of course development of trade and investment is crucial to lifting the standard of living for our people. That is why we had to sign on to this One Belt, One Road initiative.
That's PNG Prime Minister Peter O'Neill. Now, he received criticism at home for the size and cost of the delegation. As many as 19 politicians and government officials and dozens more business people tagged along. And the trip comes amidst a climate where there's increasing discussion about China's growing influence in the Pacific. And Australian government ministers have even voiced concern about some of the Chinese loans being handed out to some Pacific nations for infrastructure projects. So I've spoken with the China expert, Dr. Graham Smith, from the ANU's Department of Pacific Affairs, for his thoughts on the trip. Dr. Graham Smith, PNG's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill and his delegation left China last night. He's headed for Singapore after spending 5 days in China, meeting with the President, the Premier, and many other businesses, etc. What's your take on the key points of the trip?
Well, I guess the main surprise, if you like, is that Papua New Guinea has become the first Pacific nation to officially sign on to the Belt and Road Initiative. Many people had thought, including Sydney Morning Herald, that Fiji had already signed this, but they have not. So PNG is officially the first country to sign on. The reason it's surprising is everyone thought it was going to happen in November as part of the APEC hoo-ha in Papua New Guinea, but it's been done early, which kind of begs the question, what big announceables will there be in November to kind of top signing onto the Belt and Road?
As you say there, he signed PNG up to this Memorandum of Understanding on the One Belt, One Road Initiative. In the lead-up to the visit to China, Peter O'Neill had said that he was going to be negotiating hard to ensure that PNG's interests would be put first in regards to this initiative. In your mind, what would that look like, and do you think he's achieved that?
Well, I mean, it was funny. One of the very first things that Peter O'Neill said was to reassure the Papua New Guinea people that he hadn't taken on any more loans while he'd been in Beijing, which I thought was a fairly funny thing to say while you're in the middle of celebrating signing on to this initiative. I guess the other interesting thing that's come out as part of this is that the process for PNG to sign on to a free trade agreement with China appears to be moving forward very quickly. And by the end of the year, they'll have signed on to a feasibility study to see how feasible a free trade agreement is. So that, in many ways, may have more impact on the PNG economy than the Belt and Road Initiative, which is a fairly amorphous thing that seems to cover everything that China does these days.
Do we have any more detail on this MOU? Because PNG has actually previously got agreements on individual projects, infrastructure projects, as part of the One Belt, One Road initiative. So what actually are we expected to see any more projects being rolled out and announced?
Yeah, I think we will. And another feature of O'Neill's visit this time around is the prominence that the Chinese companies have had in the whole process. So after he'd met with Li Keqiang and Xi Jinping, he held a reception which was hosted by two large Chinese companies that have been funding infrastructure in Papua New Guinea, or rather building infrastructure in Papua New Guinea. And I found something in the Chinese press that whereby a Chinese company, China Railway International Group, is claiming credit in the official Chinese press for getting PNG to sign on to the Belt and Road. So a company rather than the Chinese government is taking the credit in the official Chinese state media for PNG signing on. So this is really the striking aspect of Belt and Road in PNG, is that it's company led, and it's led by a fairly small handful of companies, including China Railways.
If, as you say, the trip by the PNG delegation and the fact that it signed up to this One Belt, One Road initiative was company led by some of these really large construction companies like China Railway. You've previously said that most Chinese aid projects in PNG are actually reverse engineered. So the Chinese contractors like China Railway and their partner in the Pacific come up with an idea for a project and then go to China's development financial bodies and aid policymakers and say, we'd like to make this an aid project. How can, as the PNG Prime Minister says he wants to do, how can PNG ensure that its interests are maintained if private companies seem to be leading this?
Yes, I mean, it's a really interesting question. And in many respects, it's a question for the PNG government. I mean, you have some very capable people in the PNG government at the moment. It really is a question of whether they can bring these companies, if you like, into a framework. So rather than having a situation where the Chinese companies approach individual politicians and cook up projects outside, if you like, the official frameworks, and then reverse engineer them and pressure China Exim Bank, which is the main giver of concessional loans, pressure them into funding the project and presenting these projects as local initiatives. So how PNG can really rein in these companies, which in many respects are bigger than the Chinese state. I mean, China Railway Group is huge. There's another one which I think is one of the main providers in PNG called China State Construction Engineering. I mean, these are behemoths. They're some of the largest infrastructure contractors in the world, and they can push the Chinese state around. Now, how the PNG state doesn't end up getting pushed around to an extent is an open question, and it's very much up to PNG to get its weaker ministries, if you like, to sort of provide a framework for these projects, because at the moment they don't seem to be doing so.
Now that PNG has signed up to the One Belt, One Road initiative, do you expect that other Pacific countries that have also been courted by China will follow suit?
Yeah, I expect so. Fiji's already pledged to sign on, and I think Fiji is also quite likely to be negotiating a free trade agreement with China soon. Fiji was also the only country whose president was invited to the Belt and Road Forum last year. So in many ways, although PNG is the first to sign on, in terms of the pecking order, Fiji might still be a little bit ahead of it. I do see people signing on. And who knows, if Australia has a Labor government next year, it's entirely possible that they might sign on to the Belt and Road initiative. I mean, the Australian government is very split on this. And I imagine Pacific countries' governments have similar divisions where certain ministries associated with trade are very pro Belt and Road, whereas others concerned about national security and foreign affairs may be a bit hesitant.
How has this trip by Prime Minister Peter O'Neill and his delegation been received in Chinese media from your observations? It is a small country, but as we know here in Australia, there is increasing talk about China's interest and growing influence in the Pacific. Was that reflected at home?
Look, I don't think it would have made too much of a splash because, you know, you have all the standard things that go on. Peter O'Neill visits the martyr's statue and presents a wreath, reaffirms his commitment to the One China policy. But it was notable that China kept bringing up climate change and its willingness to cooperate with PNG on climate change in a variety of forums, the UN, APEC, and notably in the Pacific Islands Forum. So they do seem to have spotted that climate change is a bit of a wedge for Australia and, until recently, New Zealand.